with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Minute and a half past the hour on this, the 19th day of January 2011, and we are up and running and off and rolling or something. I gotta tell you, I'm a little bit not entirely here. I spent the entire night in the ER. I left here after the show was over last night and went over to the hospital. I'm sick. Sick enough that I was dosed up with some pretty heavy-duty pain medication, but I haven't had any in about 12 hours, and as such, I am pretty confident that I've sobered up, and by extension, pretty confident that I will not be subjecting you to any Limbaugh radio, because that's important to me. I don't ever want to get behind a microphone and do to you what Flush Flemball did to his audience. That is, babble behind a microphone, completely screwed sideways out of his mind on powerful narcotics. And there are it. My insides are wrecked again. My head writer, David, in Tennessee, mentioned earlier today when I told him what was going on, he said, "Well, Bob, don't feel so bad about it. That just means you're back on the runway model diet. Consommé, cigarettes, coffee, and opiates. Yum, yum. Hey, Grandpa, what's for supper?" Right? Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I'll shed 50, 60, 70 pounds again. It only took me 2 or 3 years to put it back on after the last one. Now, it is not pleasant. It hurts a lot. But I think I'll be okay. I think I'll be okay. I hope I'll be okay. Hoping and thinking being radically different items, as we all know. Right? Right. So here we are at midweek. Here we are at Wednesday. It's the middle of the week. It's hump day. It's downhill to Friday. But of course, as you well know, it is oh so much and more here on the Horn, because with me being a recovering Southern Baptist and all, well, it means, brethren and sistren, that today is hallelujah and glory. It is prayer meeting. That's right, that's right. Fellowship is done, dinner is done in the fellowship hall, and the deacons have squabbled over the last piece of pound cake and the last square of last dish of cobbler, scraped out the very bottoms of that of the ice cream carton, and they've gone upstairs. And we too must do so, for it is prayer meeting. It's time to come inside. Time to quit standing out there in the parking lot with the heathens and the atheists and everybody who's not your Christian brother. And come inside. Come inside for prayer meeting as we begin the offertory hymn. The plate will go around in the bottom of that plate in that square of burgundy velvet. You'll see a little button that says PayPal. It says PayPal, brethren and sistren, because hitting the PayPal button is how you keep this work a-going, how you keep this mission afloat, how you keep this outreach a-going on. Now, I'm sorry, but we're too broke for me to send you a prayer hanky that I have personally sweat upon or anything, but I think you'd probably find that disgusting. But do please use that as we play the offertory hymn. Do please use that PayPal button at headonradionetwork.com under the tab called Contribute, or mail your love offering into the address there on that self same tab, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, West Virginia. That's Beckley, not Berkeley, Beckley, Beckley, West Virginia, 25801. God love you. We do too. Now, Minister of Music, if you would please just get us started this evening.
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around.
I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate.
And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. Stopped the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Whoever said religion should be free?
Ooh, ee, ooh, ah, ting, tang, walla, walla, bing, bang. I love you. Welcome to Prayer Meeting Wednesday, brethren and sistren, right here on the horn. Hallelujah, heck, glory. I am Arch Pope, Bishop, Elder, Chief Rabbi, Exalted Imam Bob Kincaid, and this is Hallelujah. This is the Cathedral of Common Sense. Come on down that blood-red altar once the plate has passed by you and you push the PayPal button. Come on down that blood-red altar and fall on your knees. Ha! Glory at the altar and put your hands. Oh, yes, Jesus, put your hands on the subwoofer. And feel Him raise a common sense of flowing down into your little old noggin from the server of reason on high. Yes, amen, amen, amen. Oh, amen. Man, I wish I had one of them prayer hankies right now, because I need a good wipe down on my head. But it is Prayer Meeting Wednesday on the horn, brethren and sistren. And I come to you, I come to you with much, much to impart. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, I come to you with a story from that Christian land of Alabama. I come to you with a story from the Christian land of Florida. I come to you with a story from the Christian land of Georgia. Christians all, and we can prove it as it says in the book, by their works, for ye shall know them by their fruits. Amen and amen. You know, Brother Matt Osborne is a deacon here in the Cathedral of Common Sense. OsborneInc.com is his home, OsborneInc.com. And you know he is one of those heroic liberals who lives behind the cornbread curtain, like I do. But he's a little closer to the center than I am. I'm out on the crusty edge. Brother Matt is down in the hot squishy center of the cornbread curtain. Mm-hmm. Right there, where no light can get in, and it's all just bacon steaming heat. And so it was. If you ever want to know what's going on behind the cornbread curtain, well, you got to check out Matt Osborne every day or so, because you'll find stories like what he had Tuesday, late Monday even. What he had late Monday that other liberal websites are only now picking up on. There's been a lot of tweeting about it today, but Matt was, as usual, ahead of the curve down there behind the cornbread curtain. They inaugurated a new governor in Alabama this past Monday. A right-wing deacon and Sunday school teacher. Apparently that's now a requirement for office in the state of Alabama, named Robert Bentley. Yeah. Robert Bentley. And to commemorate after his, well, on the same day as his inauguration, in order to commemorate Martin Luther King's official birthday holiday, he went over to the Dexter Avenue King Memorial Baptist Church in Montgomery, Alabama, where Dr. King was the pastor during the period of time covered by the Montgomery bus boycott. See, okay, there's that first warning that maybe all the Rush Limbaugh isn't out of my system. In Montgomery. And in that address at the Dexter Avenue King Memorial Baptist Church in Montgomery, he said the following. There may be some people here today who do not have living within them the Holy Spirit. But if you have been adopted in God's family like I have, and like you have if you're a Christian and if you're saved, and the Holy Spirit lives within you just like the Holy Spirit lives within me, then you know what that makes? It makes you and me brothers, and it makes you and me brother and sister. Now, I will have to say that if we don't have the same daddy, we're not brothers and sisters. So anybody here today who has not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, I'm telling you, you're not my brother, and you're not my sister, and I want to be your brother. What did I tell you? What did I tell you a little less than a week ago? Or maybe a little more than a week ago. Either way. What did I tell you? What did I tell you about evangelical fundamentalist right-wing Christians and their obsession with telling people that they are Jews by adoption? Remember that? Yeah, maybe you do, maybe you don't. There's some problems with the podcast. But they do. They're like that. They think the evangelical right-wing fundamentalist Christians think they're the real Jews now, and the real Jews ain't. And this is an example of that. Right? Been adopted in God's family like I have. That's what he said. Been adopted in God's family like I have. He considers himself, really, I don't even think it would take sodium pentothal or a little bit of Mickey Finn. No. It wouldn't even take waterboarding. He'll tell you straight up, he's a Jew by adoption, and his boss is a Jewish carpenter. Really. I guess some of you haven't seen that sort of stuff, but it's quite real. But get that. Dig that. On his first day in office, the present governor of the state of Alabama has told a significant percentage of Alabamians and of the rest of the nation that he's not your brother and he's not your sister if you're not a tongue-speaking, floor-rolling, strychnine-drinking, prophecy-giving, snake-handling Christian like he is. Normal people probably find a story like this quite surprising, shocking even. Now, I will have to say that if we don't have the same daddy, we're not brothers and sisters. Is anybody here today who's not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior? I'm telling you, you're not my brother. You're not my sister. But I want to be your brother. You know, there's just a little too much, sure do got a pretty mouth in that speech for my liking. Just saying. It's not surprising if you are versed in the dog whistle politics of right-wing religion industry republicanism in the Deep South. Now, he has since backtracked and backpedaled and back this and back thatted. His spokeswoman, Rebecca Mason, said to Fox News, of course, "Well, the governor hadn't intended no offense by his remarks. He is the governor of all the people, Christians, non-Christians alike." And then today, in a meeting with some Jewish leaders from Alabama, he said, "I did not mean to offend anyone." Simon Simple and Simon Pure, right? But once again, it's worth noting that "I did not mean to offend anyone" is not an apology. That is, in fact, trading on and paraphrasing the old line from Woodward and Bernstein. That's a non-apology apology. If you recall reading All the President's Men, you'll recall that Woodward and Bernstein coined a phrase called a non-denial denial. Well, this is a non-apology apology. And apparently, Bill Nigut, the Southeast Regional Director of the Anti-Defamation League, was having none of it. He said, "The governor does not have to be a seasoned politician to understand the impact of remarks like that. These are remarks of a man who truly believes what he said, apparently. This seems to be quite clear that Christians are part of an exclusive relationship he has with his brothers and sisters, and the rest of us are not. An apology is only meaningful if it is consistent with a sincere understanding of what a person has done wrong. If Governor Bentley were to say, 'I realize I was wrong that we are all brothers and sisters,' and not single out only the ones who believe in Jesus Christ," Nigut said. Of course, doctor, they're always doctor, right? Dr. Gil McKee is the senior pastor, where Bentley is a deacon and a Sunday school teacher. He insisted that Governor Bentley's comments were misinterpreted because his, quote, "strong Christian faith is what causes him to love other people, not matter who they are." Yeah, I ain't buying it either, are you? This is the fundamental bigotry of fundamentalist right-wing religion industry so-called Christianity. As Matt Osborne noted, this does not bode well for the next 4 years in Alabama. Not well at all. In fact, as soon as it loads and I can get there, Matt had some. Yeah, here we go. Here it is. The language that Matt used is quite noteworthy. He went on, the governor did, Governor Bentley, after he had informed the entire world that only a select few were his brothers and sisters. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, we're going, this was, now that was from his BS speech at the church. But then, as Matt notes, so often, the word that Matt uses is non-troversy. The non-troversy over the church remarks sort of overshadows the really creepy stuff he said in his inaugural remarks. In his inaugural remarks, Governor Bentley said that everyone working in state government in Alabama has a duty to create what he said, quote, create private sector jobs. Oh, Jesus, here we go again. We are going to have to be creative. Agencies that are not typically focused on job creation will certainly have to be now. Whether it is the Department of Transportation installing a turn lane so a Dollar General store can open on time, or the Conservation Department helping to create and build a state-of-the-art convention center at Gulf Shores, our state's mission from today forward is creating jobs for Alabamians. Yeah. So, I'm not sure what they call it in Alabama, the Department of Children and Family Services, Department of Health and Human Resources. Shall we understand from this that the job of social workers will go from protecting endangered children to maybe trying to find some sweatshop labor for those children? Is that what this upstanding, God-fearing Christian means? Don't know. I love the fact that his idea of creating jobs in Alabama is so a Dollar General store can open on time. Because we all know how many good jobs there are down to the Dollar General, right? Yeah, me neither. Minimum wage, sweatshop, no real 40-hour-a-week jobbing jobs. Our state's mission from today forward is creating jobs for Alabamians. Even if they're damn near slave labor jobs at places like, well, there you go, Dollar General. Imagine that. How many places are there, how many departments are there in state government that really don't have a natural connection to job creation? And by the way, just a question while I'm sitting here. What happened to the private sector's duty to create jobs? I thought that's why they just got that massive-ass tax cut. Isn't that why? Because they was going to create jobs? Because all they had to, uncertainty. There was too much uncertainty. They didn't know what their taxes was going to be, so therefore they couldn't hire nobody. Nope. According to Governor Deacon Bentley, Governor Deacon Sunday School Teacher Bentley, it's not the private sector's job to create jobs. It's state government of Alabama's job. Let's see. Hey, remember the other right winger pig licking Tim James who ran for governor of Alabama? Yeah, he wanted to give the Alabama driver's license exam in only one language, English. English? Yeah, I do too. Matt did a beautiful job with that video. It's gotten like 40,000-50,000 views on YouTube. It's stunning. Best we ever did. Well, maybe the driver's license exam folks could create some jobs for, I don't know, teaching English as a second language? Nah, you probably can't get people to do that for $3.35 an hour. But that's where they're headed. That's what they're about. Matt says, good times now, and they're coming to Alabama. Somehow it will fail to turn us into an economic dynamo. What was that about the definition of insanity? Yeah. Oh, I have a feeling this is going to be an interesting 4 years. Of course, Alabama, the state of my birth, is always fertile ground for picking up on wing nuttery ever since Reagan got elected and most of the state woke up and went, damn, wait a minute. Now that we're letting them vote, I guess that means I'm a Republican now. Because ain't none of them in the Republican Party. You're right. Yes, brethren and sistren, we are going to have what I like to call real fun with Governor Bentley. Yeah. And, but since it is, since we all now know that we are not Governor Bentley's brothers and sisters, not the Jews, not the Muslims, and hoo-wee, certainly not the atheists. The atheists, by the way, got a little bent about all this. They put out a press release sometime last night. I'm trying to find it here because I was sitting in the hospital reading it. They were not at all happy about it. Oh, come on, guys, where did you go? Yeah, well, suffice to say that the American atheists were right sincerely unhappy. As well they should be. But now that we know that we are not all brothers and sisters, we can move on to some other things and understand what it is that happens when we're not brothers and sisters. One of the things that happens when you're not a brother and a sister is you get your health care repealed by a Republican Congress. The House of Representatives has just voted in the not-too-distant past to repeal the Affordable Care Act by a vote total of 245-189. Now the theater begins, the real fun theater. Now that Harry Reid has showed his cards before the first first round of betting was concluded and said that he will not schedule a vote on this foolishness, the real hooting and hollering begins. Just any day now, I expect to see John Boehner, Eric Cantor, an entire cast of idiots come out and say, all we want the Senate to do is give us an up or down vote. That's all we want. And a box of chocolates. Up or down vote. I want the Senate to give us an up or down vote. And it'll be like that for the next 2 years. We just want an up or down vote on that job-killing Obamacare Act. We done the will of the people. And then it becomes, of course, a campaign pledge for the Republican Party running in 2012. By God, the elitist Democrats wouldn't even hold a vote on the House of Representatives to vote in line with the will of the Merkin people to
uncram Obamacare from down our throats and pull out.
Two years of that. I can't wait. I want to play poker with Harry Reid. I do. I don't care what kind of poker. Texas fishing or night baseball or whatever, because Harry, you know, Harry will go all in and then fold. Because that's what he just did. I won't schedule a vote. And of course, right on cue, the Repiglicans in the Senate, you know, I mean, come on, it's got things like Rand Paul in it now. Libertarian ophthalmologist Rand Paul. We just want an up or down vote. Why won't Senator Reid let us have a vote? This is an undemocratic institution badly in need of reform. You know why Harry won't let it come to a vote? I'll tell you why Harry won't let it come to a vote. Because Harry at least knows how to count to 50. Harry knows that he does not have enough so-called Democratic members of the Senate to maintain a filibuster over the bill. One. Two, Harry knows he does not have enough so-called Democrats to sustain, to defeat the bill in a so-called up or down vote. Because Ben Nelson will vote against it. Blanche Manchin will vote against it. Would Mary Landrieu vote against it? Would you trust Mary Landrieu with a dead skunk? How many others do you suppose there are who would absolutely betray the uninsured in this country, the children in this country, the people with pre-existing conditions in this country? See, I just got out of the hospital. And I now sure as have what you call a pre-existing condition. Because it's done come back. And it is annoying as hell. And it could get significantly more serious. Going to try to keep it from getting significantly more serious. But it's serious enough to get qualified as a pre-existing condition. Which means that if this gets overturned, or if I was ever to actually have real insurance, you know, the for-profit kind, if I actually got it and walked in the door, oh, well, that's not covered by your insurance, sir. That's a pre-existing condition. Go die. Yeah. They're disgusting, aren't they? Right-wingers. Right. Disgusting. So we are... I have a feeling we're going to be more than busy enough. Jim just dropped a note. He says, real Jews? Bob, I have never heard this phrase in all my days. He that debaseth himself will be exalted. He that exalteth himself will be debased. I simply do not understand. This man places himself in an unreal world to me. I'm not surprised that it's unreal to you, Jim. It is a sick and twisted fantasy land of hate and bigotry. That's where the right-wing religion industry liveth. But yes. Christians can... Right-wing fundamentalist religion industry... phony-ass Christians consider themselves Jews by adoption. Now, they don't sit down to a cedar at Passover, and they don't take any time for reflection and repentance at Yom Kippur. Shoot, they don't even celebrate that one holiday where everybody dresses up as Esther. But they consider themselves Jews by adoption.
And while they're considering themselves Jews by adoption, on Memorial Day, 4th of July, and Labor Day, down where I come from, they sell passels. I mean passels of pork barbecue. Just say it. Jews by adoption. Joe Ray writing in, the Foxhole Atheist. He says, "This subject has bothered me for a long time now. I spent 10 years in the military defending the Constitution unsuccessfully. When I got home, Bush, Republicans, and now this fascist fool of a governor keep telling me that I'm not a true American. What rights does an atheist 10-year combat vet deserve? According to the right wing, I don't even exist, and if I do exist, I am not a citizen. I sincerely hope these pigs understand how evil they really are. I want them to be cognizant of this for one reason. If the revolution ever comes, I will look each one of these pigs in the eye when I am forced to practice what they trained me to do. I want them to understand that they are responsible for the pain and violence that they are experiencing when it is their turn to face me. Bob, I hate violence so much I am in school to learn how to change things peacefully. My fear is that the right wing will refuse any and everything that will heal our nation and bring it back from the brink of death. Cheers," says Joe. "I'm off to learn how serious of a problem birth control in our public drinking water is. In some places in America, 37 days of drinking tap water will give you a full day's dose of birth control." Damn. And that's the good stuff in the drinking water, the birth control. Then there's the selenium, the arsenic, the cadmium, the mercury, the barium, the manganese, the magnesium, the aluminum, the lead, the mercury, and... Right, but you get the idea. So, there you have it. It is by no means are we anything approaching done. I've got... I got more stuff to do. Like I said, we got to find out, now that we're not brothers and sisters anymore, we got to find out what that means in Georgia and Florida. Mm-hmm. But it would be, with a story like Governor Bentley, it would be wholly improper for me not to play our Alabama religion theme song. So we'll take a break and come back with your calls, more stories. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333. Email comes in to Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid, @gmail.com. And here with our good buddy Burns, and, Alabama Jesus.
Alabama Jesus, don't come from Galilee. Alabama Jesus, he looks like General Lee. He ain't got no hook nose, you damn sure ain't Hebrew. If you ain't from around here, he won't do dick for you. Alabama Jesus likes his niggers on the run. Alabama Jesus, run off those Indians. Yes, them folks cleared the land, all part of Jesus' plan. Get that money in the hand of the Alabama clan. Well, he's just keep all you have and screw the poor. Take that money that you're making and make it make some more. There'll be a church on every corner till the number is obscene. I love those Bama biddies. They're so pious and so mean. Alabama Jesus, it's about your pedigree. Alabama Jesus, sure looks that way to me. The proud begat the ignorant, and they all the proud to be. They dig for brains, they love their Lord, and they love their family tree. Alabama Jesus, well, he prays at the ball game. Alabama Jesus, who's speaking in the shame. You don't cotton to evolution, high IQs are humanist. He likes them big and beefy, no hide and questionless. Your preacher gets too liberal talking about that humankind. Just drag him out the pulpit, toss him out on his behind. Don't back those local charities like the cursed liberals do. Just judge and moralize and serve your time down in the pew. Keep those tithes are coming upwards over 10%. You make good money, yeah, that's a lot of Bible sense. German in the third world, you'll never see or know. Now it's the parasites cross town, sleeping on Skid Row. And those people on Third World Kitties, when they get hungry, they can pray to Alabama Jesus, 10,000 miles away. Away, away. White folks thank their Jesus for white supremacy. The black folks ask their Jesus to make them bourgeoisie. But Jesus knows the danger of a real democracy. So he privatized the education, which serves to bring back segregation. Now it's Ten Commandments in a courtroom, and we're schooled about creation. In 4004 B.C., the first white man ate some fruit from the tree. And then he moved to Northern Europe to denounce the papacy. Although he likes the Pope's ideas concerning pregnancy. Come to Alabama. Come to Alabama. Say, man. Say, man. Say, man. It ain't the heat. It ain't the heat. It ain't the heat. It ain't the heat. It's the stupidity. It's the stupidity. It's the stupidity. It's the stupidity.
You know, every time I hear that, those last ringing chords on that guitar, I just imagine smoke coming off of them. It ain't the heat, it's the stupidity. And since, you know, the Governor Bentley is God, I haven't had a note from Burns in a while. Good gracious, he's got to be having fits. So, we are back. It's about 20 minutes before the hour. I think I've got all the flush phlegm ball out of my... Come on. Well, at least I don't have a maid to send out with $40,000 in a cigar box to bring me back $40,000 worth of OxyContin to chew up and get the refreshing burst of flavor, right? Yeah, exactly. So, what was I saying about brethren and sistren? Yeah. If it turns out, it turns out that if you, okay, so let's just move eastward. Let's keep this sort of orderly. Once you're not a brother or a sister in Christ, moving eastward, we find out that if you are, for instance, a gay person, in Georgia, specifically Columbus, Georgia, and you have become homeless, as many people have, do not go to the House of Mercy. Do not go to the House of Mercy in Columbus, Georgia, which is right there on, right near the Alabama line. Maybe, well, no, it's not. No, the stupidity is not just leeching over. It's Georgia outside Atlanta, and that means they got stupidity by the bucketful. Mm-hmm. Don't go if you are a gay person in need of a bed to sleep in because you're homeless, you know, because the Republicans trashed the economy, yada, yada, yada. Do not go to the House of Mercy. The House of Mercy is, of course, a Christian shelter for homeless people. But it's a Christian shelter for only homeless people that the Christians approve of. Earlier this month, January 2011, two women checked into the House of Mercy along with their children. Did you get that? Along with their children. But not too long thereafter, the operators of the House of Mercy began to suspect that the two women's was lesbians. Mm-hmm. Lesbians. And based upon that suspicion, these officials of these operators of the House of Mercy kicked the women out on the street. Kicked them out. Let's check in. Well, no, let's don't. Elder Bobby Harris. Elder. Hey. Elder Bobby Harris is the director of the House of Mercy. He told local press that he would welcome, that the House of Mercy welcomes non-practicing gay people. What that means is, frankly, well, not. You know what? That should open up the House of Mercy to all gay people, because most of the gay folks I know have got it down. They figured out how to be gay as soon as they realized it, because, well, they quit practicing a long time ago. They got it right. Now, Elder Bobby Harris said non-practicing gay people are welcome, but even if the residents were to engage in sexual behavior on their own time off the premises, they would be rejected. See, again, this is a function of right-wing religion industry, hate-filled Christianity, which, I should add, isn't even Christianity in the first place. It's some sort of sick devil worship in which the Prince of Peace is being subbed in for by the God of hatred, the God of prejudice, the God of bigotry. Again, the women who were kicked out weren't gay. They were merely suspected of being gay. Suspected of being gay. And suspicion alone was enough to kick them out on the streets. At least according to Elder Bobby Harris. You know what? If you've got Elder in front of your name, I think it's time to start calling yourself Bob or Robert. Not Bobby. Stop being Bobby about what? I mean, even Bobby Knight wanted people to call him Bob. And that dude threw chairs like a 4-year-old or a 10-year-old. One of the women who was kicked out was in extreme danger. When she gave an interview to the local television station, WRBL Channel 3, she had to do so wrapped up and with her face hidden because she continues to fear for her safety, having fled an abusive and violent relationship. That didn't matter to the Christians at the House of Mercy, because they were afraid she'd been a swap and spit with some other woman. Been a doing some of that love that dare not speak its name. Can you imagine? How? Well, no, don't. Bob, don't waste your time. Don't waste it. Fortunately, there was recourse. Because the crisis center of Russell County says, we welcome anyone who's a victim. We make no discrimination with anyone. We're not in the business of re-victimizing the victim. But see, in right-wing religion industry fundamentalism, nobody else can be a victim but the right-wing religion industry fundamentalists, because they're constantly persecuted in his name's sake. Glory, glory, hallelujah, glory, amen and amen. Nobody can be persecuted that isn't them. But yeah, there you go. Don't be homeless and gay in Columbus, Georgia. And while we're at it, do not be a loving same-sex couple trying to adopt in Florida, because nearly indicted, almost a felon, new Governor Rick Scott has decided that gay folks don't need to adopt in Florida. Bear in mind that last summer an appeals court in Miami considered a Florida law that banned adoption by gay men and lesbians. It was stricken down by virtue of a failure to appeal the decision. Well, guess what? David Wilkins is new Department of Children and Families Secretary in Florida under Rick Scott. And they are considering challenging the ruling in Miami by outright refusing a gay man or a lesbian woman to adopt elsewhere in the state. And then back to court it goes. David Wilkins comes to state government in Florida from the Florida Baptist Children's Home. Right. A private outfit that allows only professing Christians. Not just gays and lesbians. No. No atheists, no Jews, no Muslims, no animists, no Wiccans, no Hindus, no Buddhists, no Jains. No, only professing Christians. And you know what? That could probably let out traditional Roman Catholics, Greek, Roman, Greek, Russian, Armenian, Syrian Orthodox. Because what a right-wing religion industry fundamentalist means by professing Christian is you have to go in and say, are you saved, brother? Hallelujah, yes, I'm washed in the blood, glory. Hand me a snake. The Florida Baptist Children's Home is a private agency that allows only professing Christians to adopt children in its care. A stunning, stunning degree of bigotry. Religious bigotry. And if they get a dime from the state of Florida, that should be illegal. But as he proved when he was in the healthcare business, legal or illegal doesn't much matter to Florida Governor Rick Scott. He's a right-wing thug. Peter Godbold sent that story to me, noting in the process, come on down, my LGBT brothers and sisters, bring your kids to Disney World. Not. Emphasis on the word not. Maura, you are incorrigible. Practicing homosexuality. Bob, but I like to practice. That's the whole point. I think you got it right. But every now you got now you're right, Maury. You got to stay in. You got to keep. Yeah, got to stay sharp. The lib boat may just dock in some little place, and I'll just wander. Me and Agnes and the kids, we'll just wander away somewhere. This country, this sad, in so many ways, sick country. Ron and Raleigh, Christian charity at its best. Don't our Repiglican brethren say that we should trash the welfare state and let the churches and their adjuncts take up the slack? Yeah, that's what they say, Ron, and now we know why. Yeah, Marty, you're right. That's the whole point of the Columbus story. Don't be homeless and suspected of being gay in Columbus. Precisely. Oh, wow. Hey, Burns, buddy, you've got an offer. I got an awesome harp player for you here. William writing in from Ohio. Is Alabama Jesus in need of a harp player? I know one who's semi-retired. And he, my goodness. William is one hell of a harp player. Probably just sit there and record them and mix them together. Oh, that would be fun. Because that harp with that guitar, oh, that would be nice. And speaking of Jewish holidays, Fancy just wrote in to remind that tonight at sundown is Tu B'Shvat. I don't know where the emphasis falls. Tu B'Shvat, the equivalent of Jewish Arbor Day. In the words of the blessed late Lady Bird Johnson, plant a tree, a shrub, or a bush. And you know what? The Jews by adoption might want to know that. Hugs to all, Fancy. Oh, I have a feeling we're off to a fine time tonight. Got some fun with Flush Flimball on the way. This is irresistible. And remember what I said about that Governor Bentley in Alabama wants every agency in Alabama to be in the job creating business? Remember that? Well, you know this, new senator from Utah? His name's Mike Lee. Well, he's declared that child labor laws, no, really, child labor laws, the minimum wage, and bans on race and gender discrimination all must be done by state legislators, not by members of Congress, which basically means that he is utterly unfamiliar with the role of the Supreme Court in federal governments. Yeah, he said it. Child labor... Look, they are finally feeling free and easy enough with themselves in their own skin. It's kind of like coming out of the closet, only the closet they're coming out of is the decency closet, and they're just coming out and living in the full glory of their manifest hatefulness, these Repiglicans. And Mike Lee of Utah, and I'm sure this plays real big at teabagging gatherings, he has said that child labor laws are unconstitutional. So there you go, Governor Bentley. All those children in the custody of the state of Alabama, put them to work! Really? Because we got every agency of the state of Alabama from henceforward now and forever in the business of job creation glory. And Senator Mike Lee of Utah says, fine by him, child labor laws are unconstitutional. I got a clip. I ain't got the belly to play it. Oh, and by the way, it's getting a little creepy here in the hills and hollers of West Virginia. We'll talk about that later, though. What a night this is shaping up to be, huh? Yeah, I'd say so. Sure feels like it. And again, I will go as long as I can. As long as I feel up to it. But, yeah, kind of no promises. But we'll take a little break, and we'll come back to your calls. 877-443-2366. 877-4-HEAD-ON. On your nickel, 304-658-3333. BobKincaid@gmail.com is the email address. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is the Horn.
I once had a career. Used to have a home. Then came that new word downsize. And all those things are gone. I was headed for retirement. I was gonna buy a yacht. But now I have this campfire in this vacant parking lot. I spent my severance package trying to start anew until flipping burgers was all that's left to do. But to my disappointment, those jobs had all been filled by teachers and professors developing new skills. So keep the home fires burning, making spirits bright. White collar dumpster divers, trash cans all alight. Word of relief has made its way to us tonight. We're gonna get a tax cut. It's gonna be alright. No more drive up window. No more SUV. No more GYM. No more TCB. No more LTC. No more IRA. I could use an FDR and a WPA. So keep the home fires burning, making spirits bright. White collar dumpster divers, trash cans all alight. We used our resumes to start this fire tonight. We networked in the glow, and then we say good night.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org. 854-2182.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Yes, indeedy. By the way, we got a great crowd in the chat room this evening. Hey to Benny and Cass from Canada and Cosmic Michael, Grateful Spirit, Yago, John CDN, Jugapunch, Lottie, John Fox, Sparky Dunk, the Smart Mom, Will in Phoenix is in there, and Zanuichi as well. Dub in Durham just bugged out of the room for a minute. He said she said they'd be right back. And it is a comment that Dub in Durham posted that sort of grabbed me with regard to the story about the House of Mercy in Columbus, Georgia. Mm-hmm, Georgia. Dub and Durham wrote in the chat room just a few minutes ago, 4 minutes ago to be precise. I was hungry and you fed me until you suspected I was gay. I was naked and you clothed me until you suspected I was gay. Are the fundamentalists sure they understand the fundamentals of Christianity? I think that is probably the most telling question that might be asked about those bigoted thugs in Columbus, Georgia. And Ron in Raleigh writes in under the subject line, Own It! Hey, Bob, when's the gentleman from Utah going to challenge that unconstitutional child labor ruling? I believe he has standing. Let's see how that would play out in the Roberts Court. After all, they're strict constructionists, ain't they? And that may be I don't like it when my mind takes me to this place, but there may be an element of truth to it, that maybe we just let the Repiglicans regress as far as they want to regress and thereby create for us the clean slate to rebuild America once they all go to their long homes. But we dare not. We dare not. Let us go forthwith to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, this is Edward in Dallas.
Well, hey, Edward, it's been a while. How are you, my friend?
It's been a long time. Well, I'm better than I was the last time I talked to you. But anyway, I'm sorry you're under the weather. I hope you get to feeling better.
Well, I have a feeling if I just starve for a little while, I'll be just fine.
Well, you know, I have to have my daily Bob Kincaid fix, or I just get absolutely beside myself. And I'm bad enough just one of me, but when I'm beside myself, I'm impossible. But anyway, I wanted to, since this is prayer meeting night, I wanted to tell you some ways to get rid of some of the religious people who knock on your door.
I would love to hear it, and I know everybody else would, too.
Well, this was in Wichita, Kansas, about 40 years ago. I was living there, and the doorbell rang, and I went to the door, and I looked out the side light. There's this lady standing out there with a brochure in her hand, and I thought, she looks like a Seventh-day Adventist. I opened the door. Sure enough, she was. And she said, hello, and she she was and went into her spiel and everything. And then she asked, what religion are you? And I looked her square in the eyes and I said, I'm a Druid. And her face went completely blank. And I knew she didn't know what the world of Druid was.
Is that like a Lutheran?
Uh-huh.
Is that like a Lutheran?
No, but she was a Seventh-day Adventist. It probably was to her.
Well, precisely. Anyway. I think of the, I call them Seventh-day Adventurers.
Anyway, then she smiles and looks at me and says, and what do you believe in? And I looked her square in the eyes, and I said, we believe in human sacrifice. The last time I saw that lady, she was going down the street so fast, her coattail was popping behind her.
Human sacrifice. That'll do it.
And then I moved to Dallas about 30 years ago, and my house is right on a corner. And one day the doorbell rang, and it was the little Mormon bicycle boy. And they went into their spiel, and they wanted to come in and discuss this further with me. And I said, oh, yes, I'm very interested in religion, which is true because I'm an atheist. And so they said, all right. They started to come in. I said, now, I must warn you. They said, what about? I said, I'm a homosexual and I'm an alcoholic. How would you like your martinis, up or on the rocks? First and last time I ever saw bicycles leave rubber marks on the pavement. And that was 30 years ago, and they've never been back. They won't even look at my house. I see them go by. They won't even look at my house. They put some mark on it or something, like the hobos used to do during the Depression.
Oh, you are a wicked man, Edward. You are a wicked, wicked man.
Well, I can get even more wicked. This is a story that my cousin Annie told me. Cousin Annie was lived in this town in Eastern North Carolina. It's a city now, but it was a town then. And on Sundays in those days, there was nothing to do but go to church or read the Bible or read another good book, because everything's slammed shut. And there was this Pentecostal revival about six blocks away. So Annie asked her mother if she might attend, and her mother said yes. So Annie goes to the service. And then about 30 minutes later, she's home. Her mother asks her, is the service over? And it says no. Her mother asks, well, then why did you leave? And Annie said, well, the preacher got real happy, jumping up and down and jiggling. The congregation got just hollering and shouting and talking in tongues. Then all of a sudden, the preacher said, now, I want everybody in this congregation to get on the floor, on their knees, on the floor, on your knees. I'm going to turn the light off, and we're going to feel for Jesus. And Annie said they were feeling all right, but it wasn't for Jesus. And that's a true story.
Oh, my heavens.
Well, I think I've ruined everything else tonight.
No, you've done. You've done right fine, Edward. We needed a giggle in the midst of all the meanness.
I know. That's why I called. In fact, part of that thing about the homosexual part was true, because I am, and my partner and I have lived together for 35 years.
And you have done so successfully in Texas, and as such, you have my congratulations and my admiration, Edward.
Yeah, we never had any problem. It was the wild thing. We went to work together. We ate lunch together, you know, and we were always together in our business.
Well, it's a reminder that there has been in the past a better Texas. You know, Rick Goodner reminds me of that from time to time, that Texas has not always been this hotbed of bigotry and hatred.
Well, that's true, but we also had something that they wanted, and that's like inventing the better mousetrap. Because I'm a law librarian, and that's what we did. We took care of law libraries all over town.
Oh, okay.
We had something that they wanted. That's what you need to do. Get something that somebody needs.
Make yourself indispensable.
I beg your pardon?
Make yourself indispensable.
That's right.
Well, Edward, I hope you have yourself a wonderful evening, and it's so very good to hear from you. Don't be such a stranger, okay?
Well, I'll call back again and see what kind of trash I could dig up.
All right, sounds good. You take care.
And you get better.
I'm going to try. I'm going to be real, real good about this. I am strictly chicken broth and crackers.
Because
my goal is to be...
I get my Bob Kincaid fixed every day. I'm just a mess.
Well, we have had some problems with the podcast, but we're trying to get that straightened out as quickly as possible.
Okay, take care.
All right, you too, Edward. Bye now.
Bye now.
Do you want your martini straight up or on the rocks? Granted, they're monsters, but these right-wingers, you got to have a little bit of a sense of humor with them, or you will go just stark raving mad. And yeah, Will in Phoenix noting, we had LBJ, Molly Ivins, and we still have Jim Hightower, and so many others as well. I reiterate my ongoing admiration for anybody who is liberal in the South. Some folks don't know how hard that is to be. You can be castigated on the streets openly for having the wrong bumper sticker. You can have your tires slashed, your house egged. Luckily for Edward, he didn't have to put up with any of that, and that's a beautiful thing, and I hope it stays that way. Let's keep things rolling and see what's happening. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's Megan.
Hey, Megan, how are you?
I'm all right. I'm still not... Do you have a kidney infection?
No. No, it's...
I was trying to listen to past shows, and you just said you weren't feeling well, and I was like, okay, I wasn't sure what you...
No, last night they hauled out every machine that goes ping that hospital had, and I got pinged and ponged, and we finally figured out what it is, and now I know that, you know, I just kind of have to starve for a few days or weeks. I don't know.
God.
I'll lose some weight. It'll be cool.
Wait till you get better, and then you start gaining that weight back real quick.
Maybe I just keep on with the chicken soup. It's good for you, I'm told.
Yeah, that's true. It's not exactly for Prayer Meet Wednesday, but there was a story I saw on this morning when I was watching GMA that kind of threw me for a loop there. Considering we had the shooting in Tucson, I meant to find the article and print it out so I can get specifics, but I totally forgot. There was a school teacher who had a problem with a bullying student, and she interviewed her students when the bully was not in school that day, and she discovered that all of her students said that he had spit in their face, threatened them with his fists, and then threatened to bring a loaded gun to school to shoot them. So she reported it to the school officials and then reported it to the sheriff's office when the school officials started dragging their feet. And as soon as the school administration found out about it, they put the teacher on paid leave saying that she had gone too far.
What? What?
Yep. They said the teacher had gone too far. She overstepped her bounds. The father of the bully said that the allegations against his son were overblown or exaggerated. The school held bullying seminars. Yeah, but they put the teacher on paid leave.
I got to admit, I'm a little lost in this. How is reporting someone going to bring a gun to the school overreacting?
Got me. Yeah, my blood pressure went through the roof when I heard it, and I was like, didn't we have this problem elsewhere in the country not 2 weeks ago?
And then there's, you know, Columbine, Virginia Tech, pick one, all over the place. Sure.
Whether or not the kid was going to or not, the fact that he made the threat, aren't we at a you would think we were at a place that we start taking that seriously.
Well, there's been a lot of kids done a lot less that got hammered with charges of making, the official phrase is making terroristic threats. Blows my mind. Where was this again?
That I don't know. I meant to get the details. I don't know if it, I'm afraid to even mention the city because it was so early this morning. It was just after I had my coffee.
No, I know. I'm not worth a damn before noon. I'm sure that somebody will email me the story post haste and we will know.
Well, if someone does, be sure to mention it. But I was completely blown away. They interviewed the teacher and she was like, she was completely floored. She said, you know, she goes, I have to care for my students. She said, we're now punishing people who try to prevent this stuff before it happens, apparently.
Well, that's only because they're Second Amendment violators.
For second graders?
Everybody. There's nothing in the Second Amendment that says it applies only to adults. Everybody needs a shooting iron gun. Don't you wish I wasn't joking?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. When I was that age, my parents, I was more afraid of getting hit by a car and being caught out in the road. With, you know, my parents put the fear of God into me. You get out of the street with your bicycles, and now it's... But remember,
Megan, the National Republican Rifle Association has a program out there for second graders. It's called the Eddie Eagle Program.
Are you kidding me?
No. They've got this eagle suit, and Eddie Eagle goes into the schools and teaches the youngins, if they see a firearm, go tell mom and dad so it can be made safe. Really, not kidding. And in the meantime, they go ahead and indoctrinate the children about how wonderful firearms are and how they're an essential part of our essential basic Americanness.
So we're teaching firearm safety to...
It's not so much firearm safety because it's more like we're teaching... they want to teach little children what a wonderful organization the National Republican Rifle Association is.
Okay.
Yeah, love it, don't you?
But I'm guessing they're not going to let Planned Parenthood into high schools to actually...
Oh, no. 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 No, that's godless, communist, heathen, social Darwinism, engineering, abortionism. Yeah, and by the way, David in Tennessee just mentioned... He said, by the way, Glenn Beck and Summer Piglick and Fella Traveler were on since you mentioned Good Morning America, Glenn Beck and Summer Piglick and Fella Traveler were on the Today Show this morning explaining what a fine feller Glenn Beck really is. Might have something to do with the fact that he has now been dumped in both Philadelphia and New York City.
Really? He was dumped in those two cities?
Yeah, he and Hannity both.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, I may have to make major cities in Delaware the next two.
Well, that would be fun if you did. run back out of Wilmington? Yeah, sure, absolutely. Get busy.
Please.
Or as Kate is fond of saying, get a woman on it.
Oh, gotta ring Angelo up and find out how he did it and take tips. But
well, he is the past master.
Oh, well, he just got promoted, didn't he? From
not so much promoted, but he got hired by Media Matters, and I can't imagine somebody more deserving.
Wow, what is it? Dropbox is the
No, Stop Beck.
Stop Beck.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not. It's only the radio side.
Oh.
But still, that's plenty. That's Because, you know, there's only an hour or so of Beck on TV. It's 3 hours of that liquid feces through the radio.
I got to tell you, Bob, just the sound of limp voice alone, I don't even have to hear what he says. It activates the upchuck reflex.
No, I know.
Seriously, I don't have to listen to anything he says. If I just hear his voice, up comes anything that's trying to digest.
And it's funny. The reason it's funny about Philadelphia is because Philadelphia is where the Beckerhead got his start.
Wow.
And a lot of his staff still lives there. And he was on the air today and trashing Philadelphia for all it was worth and just said, oh, listen, Philly sucks. You know, me, I always preferred W.C. Fields. On the whole, I'd rather be in Philadelphia. So, yeah. All right. I'll you want to go back on hold?
Yes, please. Just one quick thing. Were you going to mention the thing that you tweeted earlier?
Oh, yes. Oh, that's way into the stack. It's there. It's
okay.
It's so happening. All right. I'll put you back on hold, Megan. Bye now.
All right. Thanks.
Megan calling from Delaware, going back on hold. And let's see, who's up next? Hey, welcome to the program. Hey, Susan, what's up?
Well, I can beat Edward. Hubby came home one day, and we were living in an upstairs apartment at the time, and there were two people coming, tearing down the stairs, a man and a woman, absolutely white-faced, terrified. And I'm standing in the door to the apartment with this big old evil grin on my face. And they were religious missionaries. I can't remember if they were,
Jehovah's Witnesses are always good for
Jehovah's
that.
Jehovah's Witnesses or Adventists or whatever. Anyway, they come to the door and I immediately twigged what they were. And one of them made some reference to being saved, and I said, well, actually, you see, I'm a practicing Satanist, and really, dear, I said to the woman, we're having a black mass tonight, and we're short one person, you would fit really well to do for the living altar. Would you care to join us?
The living altar? Is that kind of like the living Christmas tree at Christmas? Never mind.
Well, actually, it's a real-life satanic practice, or at least according to Aleister, what his face was.
Mr. Crowley. Yeah, Aleister Crowley.
Yes. Yeah, it's where they use a naked woman to hold the, you know, they sacrifice the animals on her and... No, it gets messy and icky, and then they use her for sex. Gross. But,
yeah, let's leave it at that. We try not to ruin too many meals at one time on these programs.
But, you know, I went through a period where I read all this stuff about Aleister Crowley, and then I was going, this guy is certifiable.
Yeah, what is that? The Necronomicon.
Yeah, I mean, the guy was nuts, but, he worked hard at being what he called the wickedest man in the world. That was his pride.
Well, somebody has to be out there to inspire Ozzy Osbourne to write.
Right. This just popped into my head. Here's this 30-ish, you know, missionary. You could just see the zeal in her eyes, and she went completely, totally white. And you never saw two people run faster in your life.
Beautiful thing.
I've got a standard line. Whenever somebody, and it's not very often the word's gotten around, it's like, you know, the word spreads. somebody comes ask me right my religion. I don't bat an eye. I'm a practicing Satanist. If a woman's there, I invite her to a black mass.
Well, you know, I had a troublesome moment a couple of days ago. I was sitting in a doctor's office, and I was waiting to go and do the stuff that would lead up to me running around to the hospital and so forth. And this kindly, sweet, genial old man sits down next to me and engages me in conversation. These things happen, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And proceeded to tell me that if the Lord grants it to him, he will be 91 years old on, and gave me his birthday, and went on to tell me, pointed to a woman across the room and says, we've been married 69 years. Sweet man. And then asks me,
are you saved?
Are you saved, son? Do you know Jesus, son? And, you know, I am not the wickedest man on the planet, Susan. And I don't run around, I don't whisper in my 4-year-old granddaughter's ear, hey, kid, that whole Santa thing, it's all bullshit. I don't do that.
Yeah.
Neither do I tell soon-to-be 91-year-old men that, and he had a lovely story, and he had a lovely family, and he had a lovely life history, and he was getting a little creaky, and it was sweet in a way.
For people like that, I have another answer.
Well, he looked at me and he said, you know what's wonderful, son? If I make it, I'll be 91. But one of these days, real soon, I'm going to have a new body. And my knees ain't going to hurt anymore. And I'm going to move around just as swift and as quick as I did when I was a young man. And for all I'm worth, Susan, I wanted that to be true for him. Because
sure.
He wanted it so badly.
Sure. For that, I have for people like that who aren't, being pushy. I give, I have my religion, and I'm very happy with it. That type of thing.
Well, I gotta admit, maybe it'll be a disappointment to some people. But like I said, I don't go around just dumping on people. So when he said that, are you saved? Do you know Jesus, son? I said, well enough. I don't go in for organized religion. He said, that's all right. That's all right. What's important's in your heart. And maybe that was why that man was so contented, Susan. Because that much he got.
Yeah. Donald had a friend who was a Catholic priest who had this habit. It got him in trouble with his
priest habit. Very funny.
Yeah. What he would do is, he would go out and go fishing on the weekends. And that got him in trouble. And he apparently took Donald with him quite a bit. And they agreed between the two of them, Donald was more or less of a non-agnostic by that time, hey, if you're going to worship anything, what better cathedral?
Well, exactly.
Yeah. But I do have to comment on that. That story of the Alabama governor. It was bad enough what he said. The thing that put it over the top was the fact that he used Reverend King's church to do it in.
Well, I agree.
I mean, that's like, oh, God, this is icky.
That's like holding a meeting of the Pontius Pilate Appreciation Society at the Vatican.
Yeah. Oh, and I have a question for you. You've heard, this has nothing to do with prayer meeting, but this is the first chance I've had to ask you. You've seen the appearances that dear old Tom DeLay has made on television because he got sentenced.
Yes.
And he's been running around saying, this is the first political conviction, da-da-da. I'm sitting there yelling at the TV set, two words, you asshole, pardon my language.
It's all right.
Don Siegelman.
Yeah. And Don's case is at some sort of crux. I think, what was it, today? He was to have a hearing before the 11th Circuit Court of Appeals. So we'll find out if that whole miserable, faked-up, frauded-up, rubed-up, dummied-up, ginned-up sideshow of a persecution finally gets put to bed once and for all.
It's like he's gone down the memory hole.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just, yeah. And it's this, I know this is a really bad term to use, but this tapering dwarf, I'm not talking about little people. I'm talking about the pejorative term for an obnoxious twit who happens to be on the short side. By the name of Tom DeLay comes out.
Well, you know, huff and bug spray will stunt your growth.
Oh, yeah, that'll do it. Yeah, I know. It's just... And by the way, I am a good little puppy, and I signed up to follow you.
Oh, good. That'll be fun. That'll be...
I just wish I could figure out how to get him via email.
What do you mean?
Have him show up in my inbox.
Well, direct messages and references will. I don't know who uses what with Twitter, but the handiest thing you can do is go ahead now and get TweetDeck. That's what most of the folks I know use.
TweetDeck.
Yeah, just TweetDeck.com, or just do a search for TweetDeck, and that helps you manage stuff considerably easier.
Okay. Now, one last thing before I go. We've all had our bad experiences with retailers.
Yes.
Oh, God, if we all had them. Would you like to hear a good one?
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, my sister asked me before Christmas, what do I want for Christmas? And I said, something to keep my toes warm.
She didn't get you a cat, did she?
No.
Okay.
No. Okay. She sent me something called mucklucks.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Now, here's the deal. They do keep my toes warm. And other than the fact that they make me look like I ought to be sitting around in a yurt, hey, I don't care.
Eating seal blubber, yes, I know.
Right.
No, they're highly fashionable now. Don't sell them short.
Yeah, now, the thing is, they developed a hole. Apparently, in the knitted portion, one of them, part of a yarn snapped, and it unraveled and had developed a great big hole, and I hadn't even had them a month. So I went up to the Mucklucks website, and they had a phone number. So I called them.
Send them back. We'll send you more.
I just wanted to gripe. I didn't figure, because she didn't buy them direct from Mucklucks. And I just wanted to say, hey, you need to tighten up your quality control. Here's the neat part. On my word alone, this nice lady that I talked to is sending me out another pair.
That's sweet. And that's, that is how it ought to work. I've long been a devotee of a brand of boot called Rockies. And back before they moved all of their production from, Cambridge, Ohio, they were so insistent about the waterproofness of their boots that if you ever so much as got a drop of water inside your boot, gone. Send them, and they'd send you a new pair. Didn't matter if 10, 15 years old, whatever. Now that's no longer the case because they've done gone to China.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still.
But, you know, it's a, you know, in this day and age, finding customer service like that is, and I used to do customer service, that's amazing. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, and I'm looking at the website now, and they, oh, man, those are nice.
Yeah, and they're warm. They keep my feet warm. And that's cool.
That's very
cool. And I don't care if I look like I need to be riding around in a yurt.
Well, you know, no, I've mentioned on the program from time to time that I'm geeky that way, Susan. I will call customer service and just tell them I like something.
Yeah.
And I did that. You may remember Friday night I was going on babbling about the popcorn Indiana dark fudge chocolate chip popcorn. Holy mackerel. Well, I fired him off a note just telling him I thought it was wonderful. And I got a really, really sweet note back and a coupon to get a couple of bags free. That's just good customer relations.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, it seems to be a bit of a lost art, but maybe it's on the comeback.
Yeah, if people would ramp up their customer service, sure, paying somebody $12 an hour to answer the phone seems like it's going to run you big time money. But
no, it makes you big time money in the long run.
Yeah, in the long run, man, you rake it in like there's no tomorrow. Why do you think HP? They not only when they on their support line, you know, like places like Microsoft, you know, you have to get it done in X amount of seconds.
Right.
Because HP, the one thing we were told, there are no call time limits. You stay on till you get the problem fixed. I once spent 8.5 hours on the phone with a person.
And it took did it turn out to be a PEBCAC issue?
No.
Problem exists between keyboard and chair?
No, it it turned out to be USB and it's playful.
Oh, the early, yes, the glorious early days of USB.
Yes, and getting that, you know, it either goes in like a dream or it's, oh, God, this is going to be fun.
Well, Susan, by all means, stay warm. Enjoy the mucklucks when they arrive. And I think that was an inspired gift. And it sounds to me like the company has a fan for life.
They do. And I've got a tea infuser that looks like it's going to be another one. And a teapot, whistling teapot, that's made out of glass that you can use on an electric stove. So also, it looks like it's, the neat thing about those, they're made in Germany.
Oh, yeah, that'll withstand heat. It's German.
You know, and I figure, hey, if it'll do what I want it to, and I don't have to stimulate China's economy, hey, it's all good.
Here, here. Susan, have yourself a wonderful evening, dear. We will talk soon. And
I hope you feel better.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate it. It's just going to take time. It's just...
Give my love to everybody.
I sure will.
Okie doke.
All right. See you, Susan.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. News Ninja Susan calling from Oregon. It is about 20 minutes before the hour. And, you know... Susan mentioned, this is not directly on point, but Susan mentioned China. And, you know, there's a big press conference with President Obama and Hu Jintao today. He's the head man premier of China, who was clearly uncomfortable with the idea of a public press conference. That's how it is with autocratic, authoritarian, fascist dictatorships. Anybody who thinks China is communist is woefully self-deluded. They're fascist. But he didn't even erupt in a frenzy when President Obama mentioned the need to address issues of human rights. It was a very interesting press conference to behold. It was also interestingly blacked out in China. Now that I'm mentioning it, this program is probably blacked out in China. I know we've had a couple of listeners in China. I don't know if we still do or not. It would be interesting to find out. But it doesn't matter. Remember, if Barack Obama was videotaped saving kittens from a burning tree, Flush Flemball would be there to criticize him for God knows what, but he couldn't get it because Kenyan fascist Islamist Muslims ought not rep. He should have called a real American. So suffice to say that with today's press conference between President Obama and Hu Jintao, Flush Flemball, the oxymoron, just had to weigh in, right? Sure. Come on, Flush. We know you can do it.
Never mind. We're not going to jip, Fox. I wanted to jip it because, Hu Jintao, he was speaking and they weren't translating. They normally, you know, some translator every couple of words, but Hu Jintao was just going, ching chong, ching chong, chong chong, chong chong, ching chong, ching ba ba ba, ching chong, ching ching, ching chong, 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 ching. Nobody was translating. But that's a close idea.
God bless Media Matters. Or the Flying Spaghetti Monster, whomever. Yes, yes, there you have it. In a matter of only a few seconds, 45 seconds or less, there you have another example of broadcasting worth $40 or $50 million a year. And I guess anybody who can make up Mandarin on the fly like that, well, they've got to be... Really? $40, $50 million a year? For bigotry? Is that what the free market wants? Bigotry? But it doesn't stop there. It was not enough for Flush Flemball simply to slime, you know, the premier of the nation that has the ability to financially crush us at a moment's notice because of what the Republicans did in terms of running up the credit card and all of that stuff. Now that's not enough. He's got to take a run. He's got to take a run at Chinese, Asian people in general. This is professional broadcasting.
Hi and welcome back, Rush Limbaugh. I have to admit I'm amused by this. Probably very few other people are, but I am. During our obscene profit timeout, I'm watching the news conference between President Obama and Chinese CHICOM leader Hu Jintao. And I've not seen this before.
CHICOM.
Hu Jintao
right.
is speaking and speaking with no translator. They wait till he finishes. And then they read what he says in toto. And, of course, we don't know. Translator could be making it all up. Hu Jintao could be telling us, who knows what he could be saying to us. The translator is, we want to work together, two countries in the world. China is a developing country, America developed country, but not for long. He didn't say that. But I'm fascinated. I'm listening to this. I found myself trying to write down what Hu Jintao was saying in Chinese. Phonetically, so that I could repeat it to you.
This is going to be nice.
It looks like chicken scrawls. I said, I wonder to people who can't speak English, what does it sound like to them? Because when I hear Chinese or Japanese, it sounds like all the same word. And I can't comprehend of anybody understanding it. And, of course, that's silly. But he's sitting there. And I couldn't write down anymore. I was losing track of, because I'm looking up as he's saying all this, and they cut to Obama looking intently as though he understands every word of it. Which, what would you expect from the from the ruling class.
What, huh? Just what? What would you expect from the ruling class and the reference to Chi-Coms? But wait, did you catch that one little bit? David in Tennessee did. Those little English throw-ins, Susie Wong and Good Hole and Bada Bing. Am I to understand that Flush Flimball has just told his oatmeal-dribbling, house-helmet-wearing, knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing faithful that all Chinese are pole-dancing whores? Nice. Again, that's the kind of broadcasting that the professional right-wing media are just looking for. That's worth $50 million a year. Susie Wong, Good Hole, Bada Bing. This man knows nothing about Chinese culture. He doesn't know that back when the Limbaughs were wandering around the woods trying to keep from being eaten by wolves, the Chinese culture had already perfected much of that which Western Europe would rise and build upon. When the ancestors of Rush Limbaugh were still playing with their poop, which Limbaughs being Limbaughs may well have been as recent as 5 minutes ago. No, thousands of years ago. The Chinese had built a brilliant society capable of astonishing feats of research and writing and craftsmanship and artistry. And some rather misguided things like great walls. But even then, they taught a lesson to the rest of the world. As soon as you get done with your great wall, when the barbarian hordes can't get through, or get over, or get around, they'll just bribe the gatekeeper. It's an important lesson. Might be nice if we would pay attention to that down on, say, the U.S.-Mexican border, where the urge to wall build is still strong, and, you know, among the teabaggers and such. Susie Wong, Good Hole, Bada Bing. You know why he has to do that? You know why he has to make light of the premier of China? Because if he actually had a real translation there, and Ron and Raleigh notes very accurately that at $40 million a year, the porcine purveyor of prevarication could hire his own damn translator. He doesn't dare have one. Because the fact of the matter is, if he deals honestly, which he is constitutionally incapable, with his house helmet wearing, oatmeal dribbling, mouth-breathing, knuckle-walking, ditto-head audience, they might actually come to the realization that the reason that we have a trade deficit and a budget deficit is because his side created it. Because his side was willing to sell out America for whatever it could get for itself. Clear enough? I would hope so. I mean, didn't that kind of behavior kind of go out with, oh, I don't know, Charlie Chan movies?
Because it rings hollow. It rings certainly badly off key to my ear. But I guess bigotry still plays real knee-slapping funny to the right wing, which tells you an abundance of what you need to know about the right wing. So we will take a little break and come back to your phone calls. A lot of lines stacked up here, and I'm going to get to all of them. You just be patient. We'll be right back. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. Emphasis on listener-supported. We need your help. You are the reason the horn stays on the air. The PayPal button is at headonradionetwork.com under Contribute. I'm Bob.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Well, we nailed that one pretty close. Almost exactly 8 p.m. here on the East Coast in the Eastern Standard Time Zone. This in from Jim. Rush. What a horrible man with a spirochete of a mind needing a massive injection of Levaquin, now discontinued. A dead soul. Jim in utter disgust.
And see, utter disgust at a filth merchant like Rush Limbaugh is an utterly appropriate response. Anybody who listens to Rush Limbaugh and goes, ha ha, dang, he's funny, there's something wrong with them, too. And that's not because I'm politically correct. It's because that there are essential basic standards of human decency that operate in any society, and in whose case, Flush is an absolute abysmal violator. Simple, right? Let's see. So back to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.